title of the message is this, Commission for Missions. God has called you and me to be on missions right now. And we have the privilege of serving the Lord. How many want to be on missions for God? Let me see your hand. We're all called to serve the Lord. Maybe not to Mexico, but nonetheless, we're called to serve the Lord. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, the Lord led me to this passage. In just a moment, we're going to have the mission team line up front, and we're going to have the privilege of praying for each one of the members. You're going to see very clearly a parallel in the scripture whereby the early church did the exact same thing. They blessed them and then sent them on their way. How many want a blessing today? Let me see your hand. When we begin to bless other people, God begins to bless us. And so this wonderful record that Luke gives us in the book of Acts is not only a description of the early church literally exploding and the word of God going forth in spite of the persecution. And a man who was a murderer becomes a missionary, namely the Apostle Paul. And now we come to the context after James is beheaded, after the church is facing opposition. Now we come to Acts chapter 13. And in the book of Acts chapter 13 and chapter 14, there are several expectations the Lord put in my heart to share with you concerning commissioned for missions. And I don't know, I will have time permitting, but I'll try to be brief as possible, condense down some of the thoughts that I've got. And yet there are some expectations we find in the book of Acts. Commissioned for mission. Number one, the first expectation is commissioned for missions. We'll see that very clearly in chapter 13 of the book of Acts, verse 2 and 3. Next, we'll see that if God calls you and me as he does to serve him, then not only are we commissioned for missions, as we'll see these two who were sent out from the local church, but secondly, we can expect opposition. Not only commissioned for missions, but opposition. Now, mission team, you need to be prepared. You know well, Kevin, and those of you that have been on the mission field, that there will indeed be the opposition anytime God's work is going forth. Thirdly, though, in spite of the opposition, as you'll see in verse 6 through 8 of Acts 13, then we'll see that the transformation that God has called you and God will empower you. Aren't you glad that when God calls us, he equips us? Oh, you didn't hear me. I said, aren't you glad that God, when he tells us and when he commissions us, then he empowers us to do what we're called to do. Hey, if he didn't do it, we would be a sinking ship. But I'm glad, thanks be to God, that in the book of Mark, the scripture says, the last chapter 16, the Lord went with them, confirming the word with signs following. Hey, if you've ever been on a mission trip, you know the uncertainty of all concerning the travel, concerning the location, concerning the work of God and what God wants to do and how we can join him. Oh, bless his holy name. But there's another element, not only the commissioning, as we'll see, commission for missions. By the way, the word commissions means to entrust, to send out. And God tells us as we gather today for worship, Wyatt, then we scatter for witness. And so, commission for mission. Secondly, opposition. Thirdly, transformation. Fourth, unification. Our prayer today is that the mission team will be unified. We'll see in a moment, Lord willing, time permitting, about an incident in this particular mission trip, namely the first mission trip that the Apostle Paul went on, how they faced some challenges, and yet they overcame. Thank God we can overcome in Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. And yet, not only the unification factor, but then there's the persecution factor. We'll find very clearly, when you serve God, you can expect persecution. How many believe that it's going to intensify here in America? It's not going to get any better. And therefore, all that will have God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But, praise the Lord, after the persecution comes the celebration. And we'll see that clearly in chapter 14, verse 26 and 27. And by the way, if you're taking notes, you'll note And I want you to listen to me, beloved. Listen to me, church family. You'll find a pattern that God spoke to my heart. I've never seen it before. A pattern when God calls individuals out of a local church, there is a pattern that there's some accountability. They'll come back to the local church and report all that God did. You see, they're not on an island by themselves. Paul and his friend Barnabas understood the principles of coming back to the local church in which had commissioned them and had laid their hands on them and sent them out. I'm looking forward to a good report. Somebody say amen. When the mission team returns, we'll hear and we'll rejoice because we've had a part in it. Glory be to the Lord. Chapter 13 of the book of Acts, if you're there, say amen. If you'd like to stand, it don't matter if you stand or to sit. It's going to be hard to see, amen. Just try to zero in, and in fact, we'll have some words on the screen. The book of Acts, chapter 13. Now there were in the church that at Antioch, this is 300 miles north of Jerusalem, in Antioch, certain prophets, hold your place, a prophet was one that foretold, a prophet was one that forthtold, not only foretold, meaning the future, but also one that forthtold, F-O-R-T-H-T-O-L-D, forthtell, means to speak a word. All right, so now there were prophets. Look at it again, chapter 13, verse 1. Now in the Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that is called Niger, and that word means black. This young man was a part of the family of God. And then it says, and Lucius of Cyrene, which means also from a part of the African, according to Bible scholars. I love this. I love to see God's people, brothers serving God together, red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in the sight. It's so unfortunate in America that there are those who stir the pot about racism. Isn't that unfortunate? Somebody say amen. Oh, listen, beloved, in heaven there's going to be all kinds of people, and here on earth we just need to love the Lord and love each other and serve God together. That's what we need to do. And then look again in verse number 1. Now there was in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian. By the way, he's the only one that's a Jew from this area of Jerusalem. The other ones are in the Hellenistic world. Although they were Jews, they were not from that particular place. And then which had been brought up, look at this, chapter 13, verse 1, which had been brought up with Herod, that is this man Manian, and had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Notice verse 2, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, this is a church. These are leaders in the church. This is a vision. This is a passion to serve God, to get the gospel out, to make a difference while there's time. Chapter 13, verse 2, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul. Why? For the work whereunto I've called them. God's callings are without repentance. God's calling. He's called you and me to make a difference. He's called us to serve him with gladness and to tell the good news. And then look at verse number 3. And when they had fasted and prayed, notice, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. We're going to do that in a moment. They laid their hands on them. We're following the Bible. There's something about this conferring the blessings of God. There's something about hands. I'll share that in a moment. But then look at verse number 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John. John who? John Mark. You remember? John Mark, to their minister. You know the one? Peter's secretary, the one John Mark noted for. We'll find a little bit more about him, Lord willing. And then, notice verse 6, and when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a magician, a fortune teller, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Say that name with me, Bar-Jesus. And then look at verse 7, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man. Other translations say that he was a proconsul or a governor, if you will, Roman governor. Anyway, he's an important authoritative figure. Look at verse 7. Which was the deputy of the country? I'm repeating verse 7. Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, that is an understanding man, a man of wisdom, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Isn't that glorious how God opens up a person's heart? Oh, yes, it is. I'm going to preach to myself today. Amen, Pastor. It's glorious when God opens a person's heart. And if you've never seen it, you need to see it. And if you've never experienced it, you need to experience it. When the Holy Spirit, the God in the third person, opens a person's heart to receive the incorruptible seed of God. Hey, if he doesn't open it up, it won't get open. He that winneth souls is wise. Are you a soul winner? Are you going and telling? Tell where you can. Notice again, verse number 8. But Elymas, the same man as Bar-Jesus, the sorcerer, for his name is by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And then Saul, who is also called Paul. Notice, he's filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm praying for the mission team. God, fill us, fill us, fill us with Holy Ghost power. I'm telling you, it's going to take the power of God to get the job done, and especially in these days in which we're living. He set his eyes on him, verse 10. And Paul, full of the Holy Ghost, said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. The power of God came on the scene. How many believe God's able still to do these kind of things? Ah, you need faith, beloved. You need your spiritual eyes open and your heart quickened to believe our God's alive. Our God is a mighty God. Our God is able to do anything but fail. Oh, that we trust Him. By the way, I was getting ready this morning. The Lord spoke to my heart real quick. Are you using Jesus as a spare tire? So often we use Jesus as a spare tire instead of steering wheel. Are you using Jesus just when you need Him? A spare tire? All we need a spare tire for is when we have a flat. So often, all we use Jesus for is a spare tire. Some of us, God knows our heart. We need to say, Lord, I need you to take over control. Is he a spare tire in your life? Or is he Lord, Master, Boss? Is he holding the steering wheel of your life? Come on. You're a child of God. You're a Christian. Let's let him have his way. The church said. And then notice, then verse 12, then the deputy, that is the same man, Sergius Paulus, that we read about up there in verse 7. Notice what happened. The power of God fell. Lives were changed. Do it again, God. Do it again, Lord. Notice in verse number 12, the deputy, when he saw what was done, he did what? He did what? You sure? You sure didn't doubt? No, he believed. I'm telling you, some people aren't going to believe, but bless those that have not seen and yet still believe, said Jesus to Thomas and others, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. I've got to stop right there. No, I take that back. Look at verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, and they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John departed from them, returned to Jerusalem. This is the word of God, and may God bless it to our heart, and all God's people said, Father, I thank you now. I'm nothing but your everything. We just anticipate, Lord, your manifested presence in this service. As Lord Jesus, we wait on you, and as we depend on you, and as our God, as hungry children, asking for heaven's help and yielding ourselves to you, our mind, our will, our emotions, our bodies as a living sacrifice. Consume us. Cleanse every part of our being, our thoughts, our mind, our will, our emotions. And then, Lord, don't leave us unfilled, but rather, dear Father, pour in fresh oil in our heart. And the mission team said, God, we love you now. Thank you for New Rocky Creek. Thank you for the privilege of sending out these serving you. And I pray those that are faithful to their post of duty back home that will, dear God, keep fighting the good fight of faith. Thank you for a church, dear Lord, that has the mind of Christ and has vision and has passion and is willing to commission those to go out. We know, Lord, you'll bless it because it's your word and it's for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name, meet every need in this service and call the lost and revive the saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated. Hey, here it is. Number one, we're commissioned to serve. We're commissioned for missions. Look again in chapter 13 and verse number 2. They ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." How many believe that God still calls us to the work? Whether it's building a building, whether it's staying with the stuff, teaching Sunday school, whether it's singing in the choir, whether it's proclaiming the truth of God's word, whether it's working on the air conditioning unit, whether it's being a usher at the back door, God's called us to serve Him. And it is indeed a privilege to serve my Lord. It is a privilege. Life. Oh, listen, that's what it's all about. All the blessings of God, to know Him, to love Him, to be where He wants you to be. There's some of you today that say, "Pastor, I want the blessings of God." You got to get in on the blessings of God. You got to get your heart right with the Lord. Oh, no, we're not perfect, but praise God for His forgiveness. And I thank God we serve the God who's the God of a second chance. Maybe you need a second chance today. Commission for missions. Commission for missions. Now get the picture. Paul, Barnabas, the local church says, "Come on. We've been fasting. We've been praying." Jesus said some things ought to come by prayer and fasting. And the church, these leaders, we're not really sure if it was just the leaders that are mentioned in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, or it could have been the whole church. In this case, I know the church supported it. And here they are, the church of Antioch. Excuse me, the church of New Rocky Creek. And here comes the men, Paul and Barnabas. John eventually joins them. What are they doing? They're taking their hands, and they're laying their hands on each one. Can you see them? They're laying the hands. Is that what your Bible says? Talk to me. Is that what your Bible says? They laid their hands on them and prayed for them. What in the world is this message about laying hands on somebody? I don't fully understand it, beloved, about the message of laying on hands, but I'll tell you, there's something to it. There's something to it. And this is not an ordination service, by the way. This is a commissioning service. And I don't know if you've ever experienced it, my brother. I don't know if you've ever experienced, my sister, when somebody who's walking with God and is clean and close, they put their hands on you and pray for you, something happens. God's real. I don't understand it. Conferring the blessings of God. And there are times when you're not walking with the Lord, and there are times when I may not be walking with the Lord. I need somebody who's walking with Jesus to come alongside me and lay their hands on me to get me out of the rut and get me back on the firing line. And I believe you do as well. I don't understand it, beloved, but I know this. There are times in my life I can look back. And if you think you don't need the blessings of God with the power of God on you, I'm sorry to say, you're mistaken. You're missing out. The scripture says they laid their hands on them. And there were times in my life, I'm not trying to dramatize. I'm not trying to be sensational. I'm just telling you from personal experience. Okay? You can believe me if you want to. You don't have to believe me. It's all right. I know it happened. I was there. Nonetheless, there was a time in my life I needed the power of God on my life. How many want the power of God on your life? Not just to toy with. Hey, if God puts His power on you, He does it for a reason, to serve Him, to do what He tells you to do. If we're not willing to be obedient to God, He's not going to put His anointing on you. Are you willing to do what God tells you to do? Are you willing to break free from everything and anything? Oh, there were times in my life, I remember I was there as I knelt down and prayed. Had others, other men of God, other women of God. Yesterday I was at this camp meeting, at a Salem campground. It was actually Ingleside Baptist Church, Macon, Georgia. They brought up a tremendous group, 50 people, hungry for the Word of God. We studied it for 4 hours. They couldn't get enough. They said, let's extend the time. Oh, what a blessing. But I want to tell you, before we started, this particular lady who's administrator, her name is Judy, she said, I want to pray for Pastor Randy. Let's gather around. Ask God to anoint him. I've been battling with sinus and ear infection on Friday and Saturday. And I said, God, I can't, but you can. I'm not, but you are. I want to tell you, when they prayed for me, I sensed God at work in my life. And I don't know how to tell you. All I know is Jesus took over. To him be glory and glory and glory. He's a worthy God. He is. He's not only a spare tire. Hallelujah. He's in us today. He's there as a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And there were times in my life as I thought about it, I'm facing a call to pastor a church. Oh God, who am I? I can't, but God, you can. I need your blessings. Call to missions, call to build, call to serve, call to go the extra mile, call not to sleep, call to fly in the air, call by God. Oh, faithful is he that called you, who'll also do it. I remember a dear pastor friend of mine that's in heaven. There's something about laying on your hands. This dear pastor friend of mine, I was down and said, oh God, I can't. You ever been there? Maybe somebody there today. You might need somebody to pray for you today. I remember my dear pastor friend putting his hands on me and praying God's blessings and praying God's power and praying the devil would be bound. And I don't know how to tell you this. All I know, it was like it was a surge of electricity flowing through me. That's all I know. The power of a living God. And I'll tell you this. You've experienced it too, perhaps. When I got up off my knees, that heavy burden had rolled off my shoulder. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Somebody ought to say, I know my Redeemer lives. Somebody ought to say, Pastor, I've got a burden today. I need that thing to roll away. Well, the burden was lifted. The conferring. Oh, God's real, but there's something about the conferring. The Spirit of God goes through individuals. Get the picture in a moment. The mission team's coming up. We're going to, if you feel led to come, pray for them. Maybe you need to be prayed for. I need to be prayed for. I'm going out next week as well. Home missions. Pray for me, please. Commission to missions. I got a call last week. Actually, it was a text message. Talking about commissions for missions. Hey, God's doing a work in his church, New Rocky Creek. If you don't see it, you need to open your eyes. A man texted me last week. I was at the wedding, daughter's wedding. And he said, Brother Pastor, I've been praying about this for a long time. And he said, Brother Pastor, he said, you've been my pastor all my life and da-da-da. And I'm not trying to say that to boast or brag. I'm sharing what the text message said. He said, I've been praying about the call of God to pastor East Juliet Baptist Church. And I feel it's led of the Lord. And I want to praise God for the investment that you made in my life and the privilege of serving God at New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. Signed, J.R. Jones. Woo! Hallelujah! Woo! Glory! I want to tell you something, folks. God is calling men and women out of New Rocky Creek serving. Right now, there's men that are serving, six men are serving as pastors right now in different parts of the community. Isn't that a blessing? We don't want to say, God, it's us. We want to say, God, it's you. I said, it's you. I said, Lord, if you don't call, we won't go. Now we got a mission team going. Commissioned for mission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. But notice this, and my time's running out. Anytime missions, you can expect opposition. Here can I describe the scenario. Paul and Barnabas, they prayed for them. They went before them. And anybody who's been serving God any length of time, know if the enemy can raise his ugly head, he'll do it. Prepare for it. Opposition. Here's a man by the name of Elymas, otherwise Bar-Jesus. He's so-called a fortune teller, magician. The word magos is the same word we get our word from these wise men that came from the east. Anyway, you know what he's doing? There's another man. I need some help. Daniel, come here and help me, please. I need some help. All I need you to do is stand up here with me, please. I need some help. Riley, come here and help me, please. All right, come on, please, if you're able. Are you able? Take your shoes off, y'all. Y'all come back now. You hear? God bless you. Appreciate you, Riley. All right, Daniel, I'm going to use you as an illustration, okay? I'm not saying you're this man, Elymas, because I don't believe you are. And I'm not saying you're Sergius Paulus, but I'm going to say, for this sake, you're going to play that role, okay? Governor. And here is Elymas. And you know what Elymas does? I'll tell you what it does. Andrew, come here, please. Got to do this quickly. Y'all come, please, quickly. Jesus said, what you do, do it quickly. Stand right here, please, Andrew. All right. I'm going to say you're Paul. You're Barnabas. You're preaching the word of God. And you're Sergius Paulus. Here's Elymas. Not really, but you're just playing that role, okay? You know what he's doing? He's standing in between Paul and Sergius Paulus. And he can't get the word to him. Why? Because he is standing in the way. Well, what does Paul do? Stand there for a moment. Paul eventually sees what's going on. I want to tell you something. When you're on the mission field, whether here, there, or in the air, all right? Whether you're here, there, or in there, you know what's going to happen? There are going to be people the devil uses to oppose the gospel. They're going to stand in the way of people getting a blessing. You need your spiritual eyes open to see that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. You know what Paul finally did? He recognized the spiritual warfare. I'm telling you, there may be some people here right here in this service today, and you're saying, God's saying, you're not really saved. You're not really a child of God. Oh, don't listen to that preacher. You know when you were baptized at 7 years old, 8 years old, whatever, you got to be born again, not church membership, not baptism. God, the Holy Spirit can open your eyes. Maybe there's some of you that say, well, you're all right. You're not just too bad. You don't do this and that and the other. But God is saying, hey, you need to surrender your all to me. Watch this. Paul, after seeing this Elymas, Bar-Jesus, standing in the way from Sergius Paulus to get to Jesus. You know what he did? He said, you child of the devil. Man, how many know that wasn't politically correct? You say that today and you'll ruffle some feathers. Somebody say amen. So be it. It's the word of God. If it ruffles feathers, it ruffles feathers, bless God. Let the chips fall where they might. It's time we stop tiptoeing around the tulip and start calling what God calls it, loving people, but calling people to repentance. And stop trying to be so politically correct. Anyway, he said, you child of the devil, you're going to be blind and not be able to see the sun for a season. A mist fell over his eyes. If you would, sit down, Daniel. A mist fell over his eyes. And all of a sudden, Sergius Paulus could be talked. And Paul began to share the truth with him, the governor. And then you know what happened? Sergius Paulus saw what happened. God blinded somebody. How many believe that God can still blind folks? His word is forever set in heaven. And you know what? When Saul, what happened? Believed. He believed. How many believe I should have had Daniel right here and Riley? No, I'm just kidding. Hey, he believed. Number one. Thank y'all. Let's give him a hand. Thank y'all for coming up and demonstrating. Commission to missions. Face opposition. That's found in verse 6 through 8. Thirdly, transformation. Paul, full of the Holy Ghost. How many need to get filled up with the Holy Ghost today? You're going on a mission trip, buddy. You need the Holy Ghost. I need power. Don't you listen to me, mission team. Look at me. Don't go into this mission trip lightly. Don't go into this mission trip half-heartedly. Don't think it's a vacation. You'll be blessed. You'll have fun. But you and I had better engage the enemy when we go out with the truth of God's word. Because you know the devil's not going to be happy about it. But Paul was full of the Holy Ghost. And then unification. I see that as we read about John Mark. John Mark says, I'm out of here. Unification. Every time God's up to a work, united we stand, divided we as a church. We got to stay united. If we want the blessings of God. When they prayed, they were together as one man, one mind. You want the blessings of God on New Rocky Creek? I do. I believe you do too, or you wouldn't be here. We've got to come together as one. We might not see everything eye to eye and agree on everything, but we can be not disagreeable, but we can love each other and serve each other and serve the Lord with the spiritual gifts God's given you and realize if it wasn't for God's grace, none of us would be here today. So, unification is important, isn't it, Brother Kevin? You get out there working, and you got somebody doing this, and somebody doing this, and somebody doing this. It don't take much for the enemy to say, you know, I don't want to do that. Not have the vision, not have the passion, not be consumed with the will of God, the work of God, for the glory of God. John Mark, for whatever reason, we're not sure why he said, I'm out of here, but he said, I'm out of here. Whether it was malaria, whether it was he didn't want to climb the mountains, whether he didn't really want to listen to Paul, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say, but we know this. He abandoned them then, but that didn't mean it was over. It ain't over till it's over. God used John Mark later. I wish I had time to tell you about it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's in prison. He says, bring John Mark. He's profitable. In fact, they disagreed. Paul and Barnabas did, to the point that Barnabas took his, some say cousin, some say nephew. Y'all go here. And Paul said, I'll take Silas. We're going here. They're still serving God. They're not fussing and fighting and going home. Anyway, unification. Number, what number are we on? Y'all taking notes? I'm not taking notes. What number are we on? All right, thanks. Number 5. Persecution. You know what? I got to quickly end because we're going to pray. You know, Paul and Barnabas, they went somewhere else. In chapter 14, guess where they ended up? Lystra. We're talking about leaving that home church, Antioch, sailing around, and then making their way from one place to another place, They ended up over here in Lystra. Long story short, God blessed, but guess what? There came a crowd that says, we don't like what you're preaching, Paul. They drug him out of town, and then you know what they did? They tried to kill him, stoned him. And the Bible says they thought he was dead. Wait a minute, is this the same man that was standing beside a man that was stoned and died? What was that man's name? Stephen that didn't get even. Remember chapter 6 and 7 of Acts? You talk about a miracle. They thought he was dead, but Paul came up, as it were. I don't know if he was dead and he resurrected from the dead. I don't know if they just thought he was dead and they left. I don't know. All I know is, hallelujah, he wasn't finished. Are you finished? Are you casually coasting in your Christian life? Oh, listen, brother. Stir up the gift of God which is in thee with a laying on of hands. Stir up the gift of God which is in thee with a laying on of hands. Wait a minute. I'm going to ask now, as we come back to chapter 14, verse 26 and 27, not only the persecution, but the celebration. Don't miss this, and I'm going to ask the mission team to come on. They came back to the local church. They've been sent out of Antioch. Now they come back to Antioch and give a report. How many see that in the New Testament? This is important, beloved, having that home base. I've never heard that preached, never. I saw it in the scripture in Acts 14, and God, the Holy Spirit, quickened in my heart. Because there's some people think they can be the Lone Ranger out on an island by themselves, and they don't need the church, and blah, 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 blah. If you follow the Bible, you find out the church Jesus loves. And you find out He blesses those who understand the significance of the body of Christ. And I'll tell you, read verse 26 and 27. Read it for us, Chris. Start over, please.
And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered to the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles.
And the church said, they came back to Antioch. All right, mission team, come on, please. Would y'all come on? Let's pray for the mission team.